Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Advocates say our state has forgotten something in the quest for a clean energy future, how the majority of us get around. A bill to address the omission of ground transportation in the renewable energy mandate is now headed for conference. Backers of the bill, currently in its fifth draft, will rally on Thursday. Jeff Michelina, Executive Director of Blue Planet Foundation, joins us today. Hi there.
Hi, Beth Ann. Great to be here.
Nice to talk to you again. Now, we talked about this bill, HB 1580. Now it's in its fifth incarnation. When we started this session and looking at why did we not even put into the mandate ground transportation when clearly we have so much ground transportation that we use to get around?
That's a fair question, and I'm excited that we're so close to the finish line here with, you know, making Hawaii the first state in the nation with a target date for 100% renewable transportation. We do have a law, the first in the nation, for 100% renewable electricity, as you mentioned. And, you know, I think we bit that off because it was something that was needed and it's something that was very, very doable. Transportation is a beast. And if you just look at the past year, you know, while we increased our renewable energy use on the electricity side, we actually increased our gasoline use about 2%. So we're heading in the wrong direction there. The good news is these two problems are easier to solve together than separately. Electric vehicles can soak up some of that extra solar energy during the day that we have. They're essentially batteries on wheels, so they can help regulate the grid and provide energy at night that might be renewable. So it's really a synergistic relationship. And if we set the same end date for these two targets, it will be easier to achieve that together.
It seems from looking at the bill and its journey from the House to the Senate and now with some of the disagreement, and we already know that there are House conferees who have been appointed, but we don't necessarily know those from the Senate yet. But just in watching the journey of all this, clearly, lawmakers seem to be agreeing with you that this is something that we need to look at. But some of those details and why we've gone through so many versions of this seem to be eluding them. What are the real sticking points?
We'd like to think that everyone's with us on this. I think there's a lot of conversation happening behind the scenes. And just the fundamental, what's most critical in this measure is just one sentence. Are we going to set a target date of 2045 for achieving 100% renewable transportation? Most of the other bill is talking about, you know, working groups and different other interim benchmarks and the like. From Blue Planet's perspective, setting that end goal is so key because it's going to align our planning, it's going to foster collaboration, and I think it'll send a market signal to those around the globe that Hawaii is ready and open for business for those who are engaged in clean transportation.
But there has to be more to it than that because we've watched five different versions.
Exactly. And that's where it comes down to these internal discussions. There's always going to be some trepidation about putting a stake in the ground and saying we're going to go to 100%. We saw the exact same thing 2 years ago with 100% electricity. And I think the lessons learned there are apt. Here, the utility at the time was saying it's going to be a challenge. Even getting there by 2050 is a challenge. It'll be expensive. Now look what happened. We find that the utility, after the law passed, we can achieve it 5 years ahead of schedule at a cost that's some $6 billion less than, you know, the recent business as usual.
So you seem to be saying that what is really standing in our way is us.
That's typically the challenge, right? And deficiency of imagination. I mean, we really have to take control of our future. I think when we think about the future, we think of it as a noun, not as a verb. You know, it's something that requires action, and we have to set that goal, set that vision, and then align the plans to get there.
In being able to do that, do we have enough infrastructure to be able to allow that to happen?
We will get there. And I think another analogy is apt. You go back a century and you look at what happened when we went from, you know, horse-driven carriage to automobiles. And that was a revolutionary change. I mean, you went from essentially biofueled vehicles to gasoline-powered cars. That happened very quickly. In the, you know, a decade or two, we went from having hay and, you know, to having gasoline-powered vehicles. That infrastructure evolves. It requires a market signal. It requires, I think, the policies and the planning to really prepare for it. We've seen a huge growth in electric vehicles. In fact, in the past year, electric vehicle sales are up 30%, whereas gasoline sales are down about 0.5%. So the trends are in the right direction. We have a quarter century to get there. I honestly believe we're going to get there a lot sooner. But we need to have that vision in place so we can start to plan and not make bad decisions today if we're anticipating a, you know, a fossil fuel future it's going to require different infrastructure investments from the government and the private sector than if we have a renewable energy future.
And how much of that future is feeling an impact right now from gains that seem to be happening, you know, in such rapid succession in terms of battery power and integrating home and car and your whole lifestyle?
And that's where a lot of the businesses are heading and a lot of the research is. We're going to see that revolution happening, and it's happening, I think, faster than we know it.
That also speaks to the other things that are happening around Hawaii in terms of how we're increasing and upgrading, for example, the harbor.
Right. And this is where it's really important. When people say, well, if this is going to happen, why do we need policy? We need policy to make sure that we're not making poor choices today. You know, as we have it, we're good planning kind of looks at the past and draws a line forward, and this is where we're going to be. We're currently doing that with some of our harbor improvements. Do we need new fueling docks to provide gasoline and diesel for our cars in 20 years? You know, what kind of public infrastructure do we need to invest in? Well, if we have a target for 100% renewable energy, that's where we'll put our focus and our energy, as opposed to planning for this fossil fuel future. As soon as we do that, I think we unlock a whole bunch of innovation and thinking about, gosh, now if we do this, we can pair it well with our electricity system. We can businesses can come in and make the investments they need to help accelerate this change. But right now, there's no vision, and because we have no vision, we increased gasoline use last year. This is just happening as opposed to us taking control and making those choices today.
Well, what I also hear you saying is that the infrastructure may be driving those choices in ways that even if we were to plan for them, it might be outpaced anyway.
That's right. That's right. I think what's particularly important today, too, is we have a new administration in the White House. They look a little differently at this future. If Hawaii wants to, really double down on achieving 100% renewable energy, which we must, given the climate, literally, that we're facing, we can go our own way, and we can make choices that this White House cannot undo. Our 100% renewable electricity goal is one of those, policies that we have in place that is something that cannot be undone by the White House. And this is also one, sending a market signal saying Hawaii is going to be at 100% renewable energy within a quarter century, sending that market signal and putting Hawaii out there as a leader.
Is this a crucible for Hawaii?
It is. It is something that aligns so well with Hawaii's vision as we market the state as a clean destination. And it's a place where Hawaii really needs to be. Electric vehicles make more sense in Hawaii than any other place. It pairs so well with our renewable electricity system. And if you talk to anyone who's been in an electric vehicle or even a hydrogen vehicle or, I drive a biodiesel, it's a different experience than filling it with, a fossil fuel and contributing to climate change.
For a lot of people, though, that boils down to what their wallets can afford. And if they're getting a great deal on a car that just happens to be a fossil fuel burner, they will say, well, it's not happening now, but it's happening tomorrow. And that tomorrow, though, may be, how many tomorrows in the future where that would be mandated, where they would need to have that. What are you trying to tell them to be more on the leading edge of that curve when they're looking at it through the lens of their pocketbook?
I think that's a fair question. And in fact, we view this differently. We view this transition as one that's going to make mobility, not just transportation, but mobility, more affordable, more clean, more efficient. It's not just about getting in electric vehicles. It's about livability and mobility. It could be better transit service, walking, biking, ride share. And if you do just talk about electric vehicles, people have the vision of maybe a Tesla or something that's just out of reach. Those are increasingly within reach. And in fact, Nissan Leaf today or some of the models that are coming to market soon are even more affordable if you compare them side to side with a gasoline car. And I think what's key there is we have no idea what gasoline is going to cost in 5 or 10 years, let alone next year. We know electricity will be getting increasingly clean and increasingly affordable in Hawaii, and that's the future I think that we all embrace.
And your bottom line is that the more of them that are demanded, the more of them there will be, and the price, in fact, may see some impact. Obviously, the supply and demand issue, and we have more people who want them than they're available, if they're going to be high. But if it starts to be something that is the de facto rule, then you might find that there will be other deals that can be struck. Meanwhile, we've got this bill that we still don't know what may happen with it. Do you have any sense of what may happen with 1580?
We have a high confidence that we're going to pushed through these last couple of weeks and makes it across the finish line. We think it's so important this year to do that, to set that vision out 25 years. And, you know, we're going to be holding a rally this Thursday to get some students together. We're hoping for about 700 students and really sending that signal that the decisions made today, they're going to be inheriting the consequences of, of those decisions. We're doing this little thing, Postcards from the Future, where the kids will be illustrating postcards and writing messages from the future to today's lawmakers saying, thank you for doing this. Because of that, we have this future.
Well, we'll see what happens with our future based on what happens on Thursday.
Thanks, Beth Ann.
Thanks very much for coming in. Jeff McAleena is Executive Director of Blue Planet Foundation. And this Thursday, Clean Energy Day happens at the state capitol.